Matilda Ruffo closed her eyes and tried to remember what happened next. Something happened to the Mahout, that much she knew. Sadly, the details of the bedtime story her grandfather had told her had slipped away, with the rest of the non-essential information her mind could no longer retain. Old age was a box of surprises, and not the good kind. Why hadn't she written down the story of the elephant? She'd meant to so many times, but never got around to it. Why was she such a procrastinator? Who would know the ending? Nino. She would call her brother in America. But his mind was shot too. Who would tell the story of the elephant when she was gone? A family was only as strong as their stories. Matilda's grandfather, Pietro Cabrelli, Toscano by birth, had been a gem cutter and a goldsmith. He created chalices, patens, and pyxes for the Vatican using the most precious jewels and metals on earth, but he did not own them. Cabrelli worked on commission set by the buyer. His wife, Netta, was not impressed. "You might as well sweep the streets of Roma because you'd be paid the same for your trouble." Every day after school, Matilda had joined her grandfather in the workroom of his shop. She sat in the windowsill with her feet resting on the radiator, quietly observing him. Cabrelli worked over an open blue flame, brazing the gold into shapes when he wasn't measuring, cutting, or polishing the stones to be inlaid into their settings. He wore a leather work apron, a magnifying glass around his neck, a pencil tucked behind his ear, and he carried a chisel in his back pocket. The first music Matilda heard was the hum of the brooding wheel, a high-pitched sound similar to a détaché on the violin. Cabrelli would hold a shard of stone no bigger than her fingernail against the coarse surface to polish it. To pass the time, Cabrelli taught his granddaughter to study gems through the loop. Matilda was delighted every time the light in the facets created a kaleidoscope that played through the colors of the stone. Matilda had fun in the shop, but she also had responsibilities. It was her job to open the windows when Cabrelli soldered the metals and to close them when he was done. There was a map of the world on the wall of the workroom where Cabrelli had circled the most productive ruby mines. He showed her places in South America, China, and Africa, but his finger would eventually trace back to India, where he had drawn the most circles. Cabrelli worked with rubies because the Holy Roman Church favored red. He was certain his creations were sparked by the divine. To encrust jewels on a monstrance that held the Blessed Sacrament was to imbue it with the properties of faith and time. Matilda squeezed her eyes shut and leaned forward as she gripped the church pew, inhaling the scents of beeswax and frankincense, which seemed to jolt her sense memory. Instead of praying in the silence between the distribution of Holy Communion and the final blessing, she scrolled through the hard drive of her brain back to the days when her parents, grandparents, and baby brother lived in the same house and walked together every Sunday to this church. Bits and pieces of her grandfather's India began to shake loose in Matilda's mind. The miners chewed on honeycomb to stay awake when working long hours in the dark. Pigeon blood rubies were the color of ripe purple grapes. Pink clouds floated in a lapis sky. At night, after the family ate dinner together, her parents would go for a walk, leaving her grandfather to tell the children a bedtime story. Pietro Cabrelli stacked pillows on the floor to represent the mountain and wood blocks to represent the rocks from the mine. He would reach into his pocket for his handkerchief and press it against his face to dramatize the sweltering heat. He performed all the parts using different voices for the characters, like an actor in a play. Cabrelli even became the elephant. He lurched around the room, swinging his arm back and forth to imitate the trunk of the beast. "Matilda!" her friend Ida Casciacarro whispered as she gave her a gentle shove. Matilda opened her eyes.
"You fell asleep?"
Matilda whispered back.
"I was thinking." You fell asleep.
No use arguing with Ida. The pair sat together in the same pew for daily mass, their routine set in stone like the fleur-de-lis tiles embedded in the granite floor of the church. They stood, bowed their heads, and blessed themselves as the priest cut an imaginary cross through the air. They genuflected together as the morning bells of Chiesa San Paolino pealed the same ancient Kyrie that summoned the women to lauds when they were girls. You didn't need a clock to tell time in Viareggio. You lived by the bells and the baker. Umberto and Nico pulled trays of buttery cornetti out of the oven as Don Scarelli began the mass. By the time the service was over, the puff pastries had cooled, and Umberto had brushed them with an apricot glaze so they would be ready for pickup by the devout on their way home.